Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, I want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich. We've got all kinds of lovely ladies just joining us tonight to be talking about where we're in the Cafe Book Club. Woohoo! We're in part three, How Presence Begets Presence. And I just think it's just going to be a really wonderful conversation. And we have a couple newbies that are going to be on. We have Miss Amy joining us. Hey, Miss Amy, how are you tonight?
Well, I was going to be quiet for a while and just tell you I was listening, but I didn't want to torture you anymore.
Okay, good. I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. Dr. Kim is with us as well. Hey, Dr. Kim, how's it going?
I'm thrilled to be here with everyone. Thank you so much for the magical day.
You're welcome. Miss Michelle is with us as well. Hey, Michelle, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. I thought we would all just get on the line together and be silent.
I like
it. You know what? Power of all of us together. I mean, of course, somebody would be tuning in and they go, are they live? Or what's going on? Yeah, what's totally going on? And we have Miss Gloria. We have Miss Gloria joining us as well. Hey, Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. I am well. I am well. I'm so glad to have all you ladies on here. And we have a couple other visitors. If you want to be in the queue, go ahead and be letting us know that you're there, and we'd love to have you joining on the conversation. So I'll try one more time. Hey, caller, your last four digits are 4860. Can I have you say hi and let us know your name?
Yes, hello. This is Stephanie, and I'm from upstate New York.
Hi, Stephanie. Yay! She's a friend of Dr. Kim's, huh?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Kim.
Thank you so much for joining us. Yeah. Well, you know, please.
One of my heroes.
Aw, one of your heroes. That's awesome. That's hot. This sounds like a show all by itself. So that's all really great. So we're going to be talking about presence that begets presence. And I love how she also talks about it's stop preaching and start listening. And boy, there's a couple really wonderful stories that are just a part of this chapter. And just to remind everybody, we are in presence with Dr. Amy Cuddy. And Amy had been she ended up doing a TED Talk back in 2013, and it's the second most watched TED Talk in history. And it's all about her, and that original talk was all about being able to take a stance for 2 minutes and having it be something that actually empowered you and helped you to be in just a different mindset. And that's just a small taste of what presence is all about. So I want to just jump right in here. Our last episode was 287, and we were talking about being able to own your story. And just to go back and look at that for just a second, I really want to encourage everybody to go back. That's one thing that's really lovely about this podcast is that you can go straight back from the beginning, and the shows are only about a half an hour apiece, and it really can give you just a taste of what's been happening with presence, and hopefully encourage you to get the book and be able to start looking at it with the different conversations that we have. And we really want to make this an enriched conversation that doesn't necessarily just stay with the book, but really helps to enhance what we have going on in our lives and being able to look at it from just a lot of different directions. So again, you know, last episode was 287, and it was believing and owning our own story. And there was actually 4 questions that we were encouraged to go ahead and look at for kind of moving into this week. So, Amy, were you able to look at those, and was there any ahas for you with the questions? The 3 words that best describe you, and then we had also talked about taking that and actually making the 3 things that you're working on as well, you know, one being an enabler and one being a blocker.
For me, it's what I've been really focused on for quite a long time is how can I take my skills of facilitation and collaboration and put them into everything that I do. And so that's, I'm just finding new ways to take presence. I would say presence more. That's what I'm really working on is presence more in facilitation, presence more in creating collaboration. And because of that, I've just had some really lovely experiences this past week. So it's really been more of a practice for me than answering questions.
Oh, good. That's awesome. That's often. So what about you, Michelle? Was there any new ahas with being able to take a look at that and kind of being with it for about a week?
I had a big failure yesterday.
Okay.
So I wasn't able to be present in the moment. Old patterns, fears. The mind took over, and instead of making a choice that would empower me, I made a choice that disempowered me.
Okay. You know, and sometimes when we have that happen, it actually, you know, is being able to kind of step back, see where I am with all that. And I mean, I think the great thing, just in my opinion, it would be the fact that you were able to have an aha moment about that and recognize that that was really what was happening for yourself. So,
yeah.
You know, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. So, again, let's move into the stop preaching and start listening. And gosh, there's this really great story about Jeffrey Brown. He is a young minister in Boston when they were having a lot of problems with the gang violence that was going on. It had gotten to a point where they were really concerned about having so many people with just the amount of gang violence and stuff that was going on. So one thing that they wound up getting all the clergy together and calling everybody to come in so they could really hope to find a way to just resolve all the killing that was going on. And one thing that I really loved about it was that they were really honest in the story about how it was a struggle for people to really look at what was happening for each one of them and helping them to really come from a place of realizing that it was really important for all of them to come together and realize they couldn't do the same thing they normally do, which is everybody gets together and then they wind up just saying, well, you know, let's have another meeting. It helped them to come to a place of like, you know, we have to go out and see what's really happening with all that. So what did you think about it, that Amy, at the beginning when Amy was sharing that story about Jeffrey and having that as a situation? Because I know with Amy does a lot of coaching and helping people with having something like that. One thing Amy's been gifted to be able to do is go into situations where there's been a bank and they've had a robbery, things like that have happened. So what did you get from the beginning of that story, Amy?
Well, when I'd like to posture it a little bit. And on page 66, so he talks about Jeffrey and that in college he'd been a communication major. And then once he became a clergy, he set his sights on being a pastor of a mega church. That all he ever wanted was a church with thousands of members, his own television ministry, the whole shebang. He talks about how gang wars weren't even on his radar. And so he ends up, you know, and he was raised in the military. So he wasn't a person that was raised anywhere near, you know, gang violent kind of situations. So what he realized, he and the other ministers, that they, if they went out there and tried to be tough guys and they tried to preach to them, that all that would do was just feed more violence. And so that he said, well, of course, and it's on page 71, of course, approaching others with kindness and openness is the best strategy. But you'd be surprised how common it is for us instinctively to take a different approach, demonstrating our own power and control. And so the courage to say, I am going to listen, even in a situation where I feel like I need to tell these people and they need to stop killing each other. I mean, and not being comfortable in that environment is not a place that you normally are. And so being able to go there and to be present and really listen to them and treat them with respect when that may be the last thing that you want to do.
Yeah, that was just such a telling thing to have that happening when, you know, I mean, they literally, he had a situation where they were doing a service for one of the young men that had died with the gang violence. And then another gang come in and actually came and stabbed another guy right in the church while the funeral was going on. I mean, I can't even imagine what that was like. But that kind of a violence is what was happening for everyone. But the really wonderful thing was Jeffrey wound up having a dream of Jesus coming to him. And really, like Amy was saying, you know, he thought he would be this mad pastor of a mega church. And the dream he had was Jesus was just dressed up in this really interesting outfit that was just very colorful, had all kinds of stuff going on it. And he was really encouraging him to lead him to a Mercedes-Benz so he could drive him to his mansion. And then Jesus turned to Jeffrey and said, what do you think? And Jeffrey was, it's a lot. And Jesus looked at Jeffrey and said, is this really me? And then Jeffrey would wake up. And he had that dream, he said several times. But it was just this really wake-up call for him of realizing, you know, that his dream isn't necessarily what he was being meant to do. And I thought that was so such a neat thing to add to the story. Because from that, he really starts looking into, you know, what is his real purpose on the planet? And how can he really be making a difference? And the young man, Jesse, who had been murdered, it was just such a turning point for Jeffrey because he wound up going and they did a vigil for Jesse. And the fact that he just went there to be part of the praying and just being at the vigil just turned everything around because Jeffrey was willing to just be present and not tell everybody what to do, but just to be there and be a presence. Because he said presence with others is the first thing about showing up. And I think there's just so many good points in this chapter of just really learning to come from a new place in presence and how powerful that can be to be someone who comes and is just really in the moment of what's happening for everybody, even though it's a difficult moment and it's a moment that's really hard for people. But when you can be there and be very present for people, it just shows how amazing it can be and how healing that can be for people because you're just really there wanting to be with people. Because one thing that it shows us is, you know, when we meet someone new, we're quickly, there's two answers that people ask us. And this is on page 71. It says, can I trust this person? And can I respect this person? And that's something that Jeffrey was really having to look at, like Amy was sharing with these gang members, is that, you know, the fact that Jeffrey and another young man, they just started walking the neighborhood from 10 at night to 2 in the morning every night. And so they showed that they were going to be there every night and they were basically wanting to know and talk to these guys to find out what was really happening and how do they feel about it and what did they think about it. So they wound up making a coalition with the gangs and having it be where they were going to be a part of the solution. And I love for Amy to jump back in here because that's something that Amy does on a regular basis with a lot of the different companies and just people that she works with. So Amy, just continuing with that story and your insights on that.
Well, what they talk about here is, you know, page 74, the lesson is that trust is the conduit of influence. And the only way to establish real trust is to be present. And they're really talking about really listening from a place of really wanting to know and really wanting to connect instead of listening from how am I going to take this information to get you to do what I want the way I think you're supposed to do it. And that, I think that's the difference. And as it boils down to is how do we really listen in a way that we can be present to that person, not take the stance of power? And just one other thing, and I want to kind of throw out to the group here, that them talk about how do they listen in a way that allows for presence and lets people step forward. Here on 79, I really love this. He says, real listening can't happen unless we have a sincere desire to understand what we're hearing.
What'd you think of that, Dr. Kim?
I think of it as listening with our whole selves, body, our mind, our heart, and our spirit. And I was talking with my friend Janine earlier, who was caught in the blizzard and unfortunately had a friend pass away and then an aunt pass away. And I said to her, one of many things we were talking about tonight, but how this relates to presence is we get, frankly, to escape our own lives when we're fully present with another human being. So there's kind of this opportunity to leave my world, as mumbo jumbo as it might be, and give myself over to another person fully and completely. And it's like, how rare is that? You know, we pay therapists mm-hmm. to listen to us and clergy occasionally, but the gift of another person's wholehearted, whole being listening and their presence with us is such a gift and so rare that when we can be that for another person, magic happens. I mean, really, it moves the world. So I'm really touched and lit up by this whole idea of being fully present.
And Kim, I want to dive in here. There, when we Kim and I had done a chapter on self-care and on leadership, and we found this really amazing Chinese symbol for listen, and it's many different parts. But the parts are ear, you, eyes, undivided attention, and heart. And so this Chinese symbol tells us to listen. We must use both ears, watch and maintain eye contact, give undivided attention, and finally be empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
When we're like that, people can't help but respect and trust us.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
they know we're there with no hidden agenda. We're just there on their behalf. And so the respect question and the trust question, which I think is really critical, gets answered in the presence almost automatically.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the beginning of the first thing in this chapter is a quote from Marianne Williamson that says, as we let our light shine, we give others permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And I just thought that was so great. It was such a great quote. And then going into this, just such a deep, rich story, and with just so many twists and turns, and such that's just a sense of vulnerability that Jeffrey had, in just knowing that this was bigger than him, and he didn't really know what to do. And yet, time and time after again, you know, he just really trusted himself to just show up and be present, and then having everything unfold in front of him. I just thought it was just such a really powerful story. I mean, and one thing that's really cool about this is you can actually go, and Jeffrey has a TED Talk, and we're going to go ahead and make sure that that's on the website with our transformation-cafe.com when we go ahead and get it published. Andy's really great. My husband's the producer. He'll put a blog with the post. So we'll make sure that that's attached as well, so people can go and actually see Jeffrey talking about just the different things that he have on it. So anything else you guys want to add on before we move on to Will with Bill Rury, the other story with him being a master
negotiator?
Anybody want to add on to Jeffrey?
One thing I kind of like is that this is the very last few sentences of the chapter, but it ties back to Jeffrey's story. Amy Cuddy teaches at Harvard Business School. And she has Jeffrey come in and talk to her class. And I love how she talks about how he speaks. She says, he's in jeans, a crisp button-down shirt, and a sharp-looking blazer. He speaks in a calm, deep, resonant voice. He is honest and humble, yet confident and strong. He never rushes. He does not fear pauses. Because he doesn't fear them, neither do we. That's how presence begets presence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is Michelle. I feel he first is present with himself, and because he's able to do that, it extends out to others. Mm. He was in a situation where he had no idea what to do. And because he was willing to be in that unease with himself, it allowed him to be in the unease with others. And there was a true humility there. A true admitting that he didn't know what to do, and allowing himself to be that, and to be that for himself, extended out from him.
That's a beautiful point. That really nails it on the head.
I wanted to bring in another book that I've been reading. It's called The 7,000 Ways to Listen. And this chapter really talks a lot about listening. And being present as we listen, and having that be the first thing that we're really with somebody. We're present and we're really listening before we speak. And Mark has a quote that I wanted to read. It said, after all we go through, we are asked to lead a life of honest expression, which always starts with listening as a way to remember what matters, to name what matters, and to voice what matters. This is the practice that keeps us authentic. And I thought that was a really good quote from him. And again, that book is The 7,000 Ways to Listen by Mark Nepo. And what's interesting about Mark is he didn't write that until he was going deaf. He had had a problem with his ears and realized that he had lost like half his hearing and hadn't even really realized it. And because of that, he really looked at listening from just a really different perspective. So I just wanted to add that into the show for people if they want to check out Mark's work. Because it's always been something that really always draws me back to his wisdom and his words. He's a poet and has several different books. So the Book of Awakenings is one of his well-known bestsellers that he has. It's a 365-day daily read that just is just a jewel that gives you something every day to be able to take away. And I've had one. I've had my copy probably for 10 years, and I still read it and get something new every time I go through it. So just encourage everybody to go through that. So. along with Jeffrey, there's the story of Bill Rury. He's the co-founder of the Harvard Program of Negotiation and also the co-author of the best-selling book, Getting to Yes. And what's really great about Bill is that during the 1980s, he helped the U.S. and Soviet Union create Nuclear Crisis Center, designed to avert accidental nuclear war. And he's worked on ending billion-dollar battles over the control of Latin America's largest retailers. And he also was an advisor to the president of Colombia, ending a 50-year war, a civil war, which the parties to a dispute of hearing each other for the first time. And when the key issues were progressed substantially toward resolution, they truly believe that Bill is some kind of magician. Of course, he swears that that's not true. He just claims that he says what he does is embarrassingly simple. And he's also worked with former President Jimmy Carter. And it goes into a story about Hugo Chavez and how he had been asked to go down, and the country was wanting to basically oust him out of his presidency. And Amy, you want to go into that about how that happened and your insights on that?
Well, I think I'd like to do is kind of open it up to the group. I think the main thing out of all that is what he talked about was he just said, just listen, stay focused on the present moment, and look for opening, for connection and resolution and collaboration. And through that, several miracles happen. So we have this amazing group at the table, Rob, and I'd kind of like to throw it out and say, how do they use listening to create that space of presence and help people to open up and create that combination?
Yeah, that's a great idea. How about you, Michelle?
I'd like to improve my abilities. Just reading this chapter really made me think about how much listening I'm actually doing, and inspired me to be more willing to be quiet. And the one thing that struck me that in this part of the chapter was that if you aren't speaking, you may be feeling like you're giving up control, and who knows where that will leave me. And who does that? Only the foolish or the brave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would like to be foolishly brave.
Hear, 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 hear.
I used to be a very quiet person, but it was more out of fear, not that I had presence there. I was just out of fear. And then the pendulum swung the other way, and I became very vocal. So now I'm reading this and I'm really letting it sink in that I can kind of go back the other way, and it won't be in fear. It'll be in something much greater, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think Stephanie has something she wants to say.
Oh, yeah. Stephanie, go for it, girl. Yeah, go for it. Hey, Stephanie. Yeah.
So I'm listening to your conversation, and it's absolutely wonderful. I have read Getting to Yes. It's a great book. And I'm sitting here and thinking, everyone is focused on figuring out who they are, and they want to find themselves. And what I'm getting from your conversation is that we only find ourselves when we're focused on others.
Mm.
And that's kind of what, being present in the moment, and then just having your presence, communicate that by being focused on others. Not only does it empower them in a way, but it empowers you as well, because you can reflect that presence. Being focused on them is going to reflect back on you and help you identify who you are internally.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's all.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a lot. How about you, Dr. Kim?
I thought what Stephanie said is brilliant, so I don't have anything to add.
Okay. Defender.
We'll just have that moment of silence, being brave.
Yeah. while we're in that moment of silence, I'd like to kind of issue a homework assignment or a challenge, as it were. So I think a good exercise this week would be think about, nobody needs to answer this, but you certainly can. But think about who you see as a good listener.
It could be somebody that a teacher or a parent or somebody that you knew mm-hmm. or that you know that, or maybe even somebody that you didn't really know, but you've observed them. And they spend some time with what are the traits about them that made them such a great listener. So that might be a good exercise this week to just kind of notice what is a good listener and how, mm-hmm. and maybe what are some traits that go along with that.
Mm-hmm. On page 79, it says, listening is a crucial to presence, and the challenge that arises when we realize that we really need to listen are the same ones that made it hard to be sufficiently present to do so. Real listening can happen unless we have a sincere desire to understand what we're hearing, and that's not an easy thing to manage because it requires us to suspend judgment. Even when we're feeling frustrated or scared or impatient or bored, or even when we're feeling threatened or anxious about what we're about to hear, because we think we know it or because we don't know it, we have to give others space and safety to be honest, and we can't respond defensively when we're listening. For some of us, it also means we need to overcome our fear of silence and of space. The paradox of listening is that by relinquishing power, the temporary power of speaking, asserting, and knowing, we become more powerful. When we stop talking and stop preaching and listening, we can have a place where people trust us, you can acquire more information, you begin to see others as individuals, and you develop solutions that others are willing to accept and even adopt. So just really want to encourage everybody, again, to go. We'll have Jeffrey's TED posted on that. And we also have the Philosopher's Notes. And I'm sure we probably could get just kind of the quick ideas from Bill's book, Getting to the Yes, because I know that's a real popular book in that. So, Dr. Kim, any last words on your impressions with the chapter this week?
I can say that the times when I am at my best and the times when I am happiest are the times when I give myself to others through presence.
Very nice.
So,
and how about you?
Go ahead. The learning for me is when I'm down, when I'm not in a great place, that means I'm too self-absorbed and all I need to do is give myself to others. And life takes care of itself. And I have story after story of that in my life. So I just remind myself and share that with all of you.
Well, thank you. How about you, Amy?
For me, it's as it's been come up, Michelle brought up, and Stephanie, that it's about really being in this space of really coming from my core and really working to allow them to come from wherever they're choosing to come from without me judging what that's supposed to look like and having the courage. I love that foolish bravery or foolish courage. Heard of you said, Michelle, that was very cool. And it does. I think it takes some crazy in order to really to allow yourself to be open and vulnerable.
Exactly. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us here at the cafe. And part four is going to be about I don't deserve to be here. And it's looking at being able to be good enough and what that is. And may we all be brave and trust ourselves into moving into that chapter and really looking at, you know, how we are brave enough. And gosh darn it, we needed to be here because we deserve to be here. So I want to thank everybody for joining us. And we'll see you next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.